Welcome to Worlds Away, an actual play storytelling podcast. I am your former game master, John Ossip, and
you're one of us.
Mutiny.
We've got Haley Daria.
Hello.
Lauren Wilbanks.
Olive Juice.
Michael Morales.
Hi.
And Mushar.
Scarlet Pimpernel.
So I did say former GM, and the reason for that is for the next couple of sessions, we're no longer going to be playing Impulse Drive. And that's because after the discoveries of the last arc, where the party found the ghost ship and encountered the alien creature that calls itself Doran or the Traveler, I want to zoom out a bit and focus on what happens next for all of humanity. And to do that, we're going to be playing a game called Microscope, which was written by Ben Robbins. Microscope is a game about building histories. The way that we build those histories is by placing periods and events onto a timeline, and then we'll use those points to collectively tell the next chapter of our story. In Microscope, every player at the table has an equal say in shaping the timeline. No one has veto power, and anything that one player creates, another player could later destroy. But history in Microscope is never lost, because each turn we can explore anywhere on the timeline and find out what happened in the past, even if we already know the future. I'm going to explain most of the rules as we go, but to get us started, I'm going to describe the three kinds of cards that we'll be placing on the timeline as we play, and those are periods, events, and scenes. Periods you can think of as large chunks of time, and they might have an underlying theme or tone. You could think of the Great Depression or the Internet Age. Both of those could be periods in our real-world timeline. And when a player creates a period, they say where it falls on the timeline, and they give a broad summary of the period, enough to show what makes it different from whatever might come before or after it, and also explain the tone of the period, which could be either light or dark emotionally. Events are specific things that happen within a period. And turning to the two examples I mentioned before, Black Thursday might be an event within the Great Depression, or the reveal of the first smartphone could be an event within the Internet Age. They might feel short or long in length, but in any case, they're smaller in scale than periods. When creating an event, the player adding it to the timeline describes what happens with more specific detail, and that description includes the event's ultimate outcome, so what happens in that event, and also whether the tone is light or dark. Periods can contain multiple events, just like our timeline will contain multiple periods. The last element that we might add to the timeline is a scene, and those are shorter moments that occur within events, and we use them to answer a specific question that's asked by the player who adds the scene. Once the player decides the question, and also the setting where the scene occurs, some or all of us will take on characters within the scene, and then we'll play it out until there's an answer to the question, at which point we'll stop. Normally, when we're playing Microscope, the players begin by figuring out what their history is about and then deciding where it begins and ends. This game is a little different, though, since we already know the timeline that we'll be exploring, and that's what happens leading up to humanity's encounter with the species known as the Shepherds. Each timeline in Microscope begins with two bookends, and that's periods that define the start and end of the timeline. And so to frame this game within the story of Convergence, I'm going to put down those bookends now. The starting point for the timeline is first contact with Doran the Traveler. And the end is the arrival of the Shepherds.
And that ending's like non-negotiable, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I'm just going to put an event in here where we invent a Shepherd's annihilation gun. And then we could just wrap this up, you guys, right?
That would make it easier.
We can get some ice cream after this, maybe.
A very short session. So now that we have the edges of the history on the timeline, the last thing that we'll do before we start to play is develop what's called the palette. And that's a list of things that we expressly want to allow in our history, or that we expressly want to ban from it. The palette's divided into yes and no columns. And if something's in the yes column, that means it's allowed in our history, even if it seems like it might not otherwise fit into the story. And the no column means it's not allowed, even if someone might think it fits perfectly. And we all have to agree for things to be added to the palette. We briefly discussed this before the session, but I'm going to turn it over to each player who added something to the palette so they can explain what they placed. Maybe We can start with Mike with your no. You see, you're raising your hand.
Yeah. I really like the format of this game, and I think it's a little odd since we're coming into this with a lot of shared history here that we put a lot of effort into. And so just out of general respect for you all and the efforts you put into your characters, I think no direct modification of another player's campaign character or things related to their backstories. Or at the very least, y'all should have like veto power. Maybe something interesting comes up, but like, don't fuck with each other's histories.
I like that. I'm going to put in one of mine, which is my yes right now. And that's kind of the, maybe the other side of my histories or my backstories. And that's, I wanted to kind of expressly lay out that no NPC we've already met is safe. And I think what that means is there are characters that we met that obviously I as the GM have put a lot of time into and that have played a significant role in our story so far. And things could happen in Microscope that changes them or takes them off the board or causes their death. And that is a thing that I'm turning over control over to the group instead of me. And I wanted to make that very explicit by putting that in the yes column as a thing that's possible here. Haley, you want to do your no also?
Yeah. So my thought was, I don't want to see human versus human conflict that results in a planetary level apocalypse or mass death scenario. Obviously, the shepherds are coming and I can't control them, but in this timeline, I just don't think I want us having entire like millions of people get destroyed or something like that.
And then Mo, you had had one in the yes column, if you want to explain that one.
Yeah, so I think that sometimes when writing in stories like this, the presence of an external threat automatically means like a united force. And I don't think that's what we're going to experience here. So I'm adding to the yes column that humanity's knowledge of the travelers and the shepherds does not end the presence of lies, deceit, betrayal, or human flaws.
Awesome. So that's our palette. And those are kind of the things that explicitly are allowed in the timeline or are banned from the timeline as we're playing the cards. Everything else is on the table. And as I said, there's no veto power over other players. So what each of us puts down, that's final. So now we're going to go into the first round of play. And that is what Microscope calls the first pass. And during that round, we each get to put down one event or period on the timeline. And there's no restriction as to what those events or periods are about. There's no order for this part. And so anyone who has an idea can jump in and add it to the timeline, just so long as each of us only adds one. So at this point, I'll turn it over to the group and we can each start putting things down onto the timeline.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you have a sense of how much time passes between first contact with Doran and the arrival of the shepherds?
So that's a good question. And one thing I want to stress about Microscope is we don't want to put explicit times on things. And the reason for that is because it might be difficult for other players to add periods or events if they're defined in a very concrete way. I will say that there's a general sense of how long periods are or events are. So you can think of periods as big picture things. So that might be in the order of months or even possibly years. So I would say it's at least that time frame. I don't think it's centuries. I think that the traveler was clear that it would be faster than that, right? But I think it could be at least months or possibly years, given that we have put that down. I think the warning was it could have been even sooner than that. But I think in choosing to kind of resolve this through Microscope and to give space, we're saying it's on the longer side of that estimate. But again, we want to be careful not to box people in with what we put down and define events too specifically.
Okay. Yeah. Do you mind if I take the first period?
Go for it, man.
The evacuation of Aventine.
Oh.
Wow.
What is that? Like the entire planet?
Holy fuck.
Could be. Let's decide.
Damn. So the one other thing is that a light tone or a dark tone?
I haven't decided. Do I need to?
I think you do. And you have to explain why you think it's light or dark also. Damn, he came in fucking hot, guys. Holy shit.
I'm going to mark it as a dark period. And I'm just going to, I want to keep it open. So I'm just going to say the decision was rooted in fear.
Okay.
I would like to go if I can.
Yeah, go for it.
The evacuation of Earth.
Everybody's getting fucking evacuated where they're going.
Which is a dark event because it was just a war calculus. And it is in the style of the Republic, being done for everybody's best interest, but not something that they necessarily get to decide. Because the numbers are really clear. If your enemy has a planet-destroying device, you need to spread your people out on as many planets as possible. And 90% of our population cannot be contained on one planet.
Fair.
And does that take place before the evacuation of Aventine or after?
Before.
And I know you said it was an event, but you're placing a period on the timeline. That might have events within it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Oh, you're putting it early.
I will just say the timeline, it's all relative, right? There's nothing that's like, oh, this is much earlier or later than another from where you put it. Anything can go at any point, like before or after the events that we put down.
Fair enough.
I think I'm going to go next, and I'm trying to figure out where to put this. Because I do want to add another period. And I think I'm going to put it in between those, actually. Because I think that is going to provide some good tone. And that is a period that is the era of great projects. And I think that's a light tone. And the reason for that is, I think that, especially if it's after the evacuation of Earth, you know, that was driven by sort of, again, we had mentioned like fear of a planet destroying conclusion, right? And that's something that we're terrified about. But I think maybe as like something changes or maybe there's a source of hope. And I think that also almost makes the evacuation of Aventine a little darker because that comes after this, whatever this period of optimism is, where we were doing great things despite that evacuation. So that's why I am calling it a light tone, why I chose to put it there.
Yeah, I think I have something. I was thinking about it before you put down your period, John, but I think it goes in your period, the era of great projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is the discovery of, I don't want to say it's necessarily another Verge, but another set of planets that could be settled. I don't know if they're like right next to the Verge or if they're even farther away.
Is it like, oh, maybe we found it? We found it through I want to say telescope, but it's like, oh, we know it's out there, but we haven't. Is that the, if you're putting an event in, is that the event is like, yeah, we identified them for the first time?
Yeah. Yeah.
The break.
Get your 1999 ass DCOM movie title out of here.
Tell me it's not great. Tell me it's not great. Also, humanity came back from the brink. Come on.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry,
I'm on
it's good.
The verge.
I'm sorry, it's good.
I'm on the verge of muting you.
I don't apologize for my art.
Oh my God.
I'm going to add one. I think this one's pretty obvious, but I feel like worth saying. Humankind grapples with the reveal of sapient life. And this is a period. And I'm going to say this is a light period.
I think you're like select. You have it selected or whatever.
Where is the... I thought there were a little... Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, I was just waiting for you to unselect it so I could fix the spelling of grapples.
I was also looking at that. I was just happy that there's someone else in the I can't spell when typing gang.
I'm really bad at spelling. Like, we've been like ad nauseum over this.
Lauren, you and I have to have like the worst spelling be to see who's worse. It's not good.
Just like if people get to vote on which is a more like abhorrent way that your mind had like convoluted this word into being spelled.
It's like we stand up and we have to read it, and then it's like there's like a 2 second pause with your action of like the audience being like, oh my fucking God, like what are you saying?
Yeah. It's like this can't be the human mind.
You two are by far the more educated of this group. And also,
that doesn't mean shit, okay?
It truly doesn't.
Okay, I feel like we have pretty good stuff going on here. So now that we've all put down cards, that's the end of the first pass. And now we're ready to start the game in earnest. And so for each round of Microscope, one of us acts as what's called the lens, which means that that player gets to pick the focus of that round of play. The focus might be an event or a character or a concept or a theme that we want to explore in our history. And once the lens picks the focus, each period, event, or scene that we add to the timeline has to relate in some way to that focus. The lens kicks this off, and they can place up to two cards down on the timeline, one nested within the other. And then we'll go around the table until we return to the lens, who can again then place up to two nested cards. And since I'm the one teaching today, I'm going to act as the first focus, and then we'll move around the table in the order that we appear in the chat here. So sort of in alphabetical order by our first name. So I want to put down for my focus the destruction of the Halcyon Veil. And I think that the Halcyon Veil is a transport ship that was being constructed in Earth orbit to facilitate the evacuation of Earth. And I think that before it is able to launch, the Halcyon Veil is destroyed. And so I want to put down a nested event and scene. The event I want to put down is the Halcyon Veil is destroyed in orbit. And I think that that occurs under mysterious circumstances. Like, we know it was destroyed, but we don't know who is responsible for this or how it happened. And the scene that I want to play and the question I want to answer is, does the destruction of the Halcyon Veil cause the Republic to abandon their attempt to evacuate Earth? I think that there could be still like an evacuation, even if the answer to that is yes. I want to like leave that open for other people to fill in further events in this period. But I think it's like, is this a setback that causes the political leadership, that causes the Republic to abandon that? I think the setting is a room that's overseeing mission control for the ship. So essentially, there's like an observation room that's looking out onto the mission control for the launch of the Halcyon Veil, or the sort of construction of the ship. And you know, we're seeing people like responding to the accident down below. So that could get incorporated into this. But maybe in this observation room, this kind of like walled off area, there are people talking about decisions and about the future. That might be at a higher level. And we'll get to pick who the characters are. But that's what I imagine is the setting for this.
And is this after, like immediately after the...
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm imagining is like right after the... Like after they've learned of the destruction, right? And so I think there's kind of people responding to it, but it's like there's not a lot to be done. You know, that's the sense of mission control. Or they're just trying to see like, is there anything to salvage? Like what happened up there, trying to recreate the accident? And then, you know, it's like people having a discussion about the future. There's another option of requiring or banning characters. So because I'm creating the scene, I could specify one or two characters that someone has to play. I actually don't think I want to do that here. I want to let everybody just pick, and then we'll see what happens from that. I don't have anyone I think has to be in the scene, and I don't have anyone that can't be. And I think I kind of described what the setting is, so hopefully that sets enough detail. So now we go in reverse order. So the first one that's going to pick is Haley, who's to my right, if we were imagining the Discord headshots here as a table. So Haley, go ahead and let us know who you want to play. And I will say you're not required, like not everybody has to be in the scene. If there's not a character that you want to play or you don't imagine being in the scene, it's not obligatory that everybody play. But, you know, if there's something that you think you can play, it's good to, the more the merrier.
I will play Marina Kane, head of engineering for the Halcyon Veil.
To clarify, we're not on the ship, right?
No. The setting is like this is in like an observation room overlooking mission control. Or at least that's where I want like the main part of the scene to occur. I guess like one question for you, Haley, is like if Marina Kane's the head of engineering, is she like in the observation room with the kind of like political hitters, or is she like kind of coming up and down, or like in the main area?
I feel like she was down in the main area, and then someone was like, all right, we need someone
like you're explaining it here. Yeah. Okay.
But I feel like she's also like constantly getting more information from the people doing down below doing the work.
And I think like one of the one of the established facts that I want to lay down from the event is just that there's not an explanation. Like, we don't know what happened yet. Right. Yeah. In terms of like who caused it or what the reason for the accident is. So it's like, you know, there's not going to be an answer in this scene. Next is Mo.
I'm going to be Mar Elkin.
All right.
I've heard that name before.
Who does the voice better is the real question.
Mar has a voice?
A little bit. I do like little subtle voices.
Yeah, but some of your voices are not like Shaw has a voice.
Shaw has a voice, but that's
what was his name? The one that we sort like who hurt his leg and I kicked Renkrieg.
Renkrieg, yeah. I thought I did okay on that one.
Yeah, you did. That was a good voice.
I got two good ones. I had a couple stinkers, but those were good ones.
I didn't say stinkers. I just said some of them were more subtle.
No, I said stinkers. I guess like one thing is, and I don't have to put the answer now. He could just be Evelyn Lee's former chief of staff. But does Mar have like a title or a position that you want to kind of establish at the outset?
I think his position in the administration now. Oh, hold on.
And it could be like the Republic. It could be in ICO. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Where is this period relative to humankind grappling with sapient life? It's after. Right?
It's after. Yeah.
I think that he is head of operations for human evacuation for ICO. For human relocation for ICO.
Oh, okay. All right, Mike.
Admiral Isabella Mendoza.
God damn it!
Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit! I literally wrote that down. I was hoping you were gonna pick her. Ah.
Damn. Who do I have left to play? Fuck me. And I guess, like, is she just, does she have, like, any, is there, like, a change in her position that you want to establish in this? Other than she's in the fleet, which, you know, I guess at the time, at least when we started this timeline, was part of ICO. But we haven't established any facts one way or another yet.
I think she's, she was in charge of FSOC before. I think her role's been elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she might be fleet secretary at this point.
And Lauren.
God, fuck. You stole your NPC from me, and now I don't know what to do.
And again, it could be characters we've never met before, too.
No, I know. I'm just trying to, like, get a feel for what remains to be fleshed out. So we have head of engineering.
Oh, you know what? Do you want to make a trade?
I'm listening.
I'll give you Admiral Isabella Mendoza.
Okay.
I'll play somebody else if you want.
Okay, who would that
but you
be?
Have to say it, Mike.
Nico Torres.
Oh,
yeah.
The funny thing is, I was like, oh, I'll play Nico Torres. Everybody else.
He keeps robbing. He's robbing everyone of everything.
Is that okay, Lauren? Do you consent to the trade or?
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds fine.
Did you? I'm no pressure. I could be Mendoza too,
Lauren,
if you have somebody else.
You should
in mind.
Take Nico Torres. Fuck Mike.
I mean, I could do all of these things. Yes, you're correct. I'll take Isabella Mendoza.
All right. And does Nico Torres get a position, Mike?
Yeah, he's still president of Earth. Or president
still president of
the Republic.
Republic.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, now I have to fucking think of something. Holy shit.
You don't have to be in the scene.
I don't, but and there is a mechanism where you can play time and kind of force the scene along, but I don't think I want to do that here.
I feel like so John's like, no, I'm one of you now. I'm not a GM anymore. I'm just going to embody the concept of time. This is a demotion from my previous role.
Anybody could have done that. Anybody could have chosen that. And I said, I'm not doing that. So I don't really understand where this accusation's coming from.
It's just confusing for us because we're used to playing against you.
Against me. That's an interesting way to think about it.
That came straight out of her brain. I'm not co-signing on that shit.
I was debating the other, like, I was like, oh, do I play something that already exists? And the name that I thought of was Nolan, but I don't know if I want to do that here. I might want to make up a new person. All right. I think I'm going to be Veronica Sayers. I think she is a senior advisor to Nico Torres, but everybody understands that she is a, like, an intelligence operative for the Republic.
Ooh.
So, okay. So now that we have our characters, the next step is what's called revealing thoughts. So we'll each go background again in the same order. So starting with Haley, and each of us are going to state one thing that our character is thinking about in the upcoming scene. It could be something about what we're going to do or what we expect to happen in the scene, or any, just sort of how we're thinking about what's about to occur, how we're processing that. We don't want to answer the question already, right? So that we want to be careful not to go into that territory. But just something about what we're thinking. It could kind of push in one direction, but we don't want to give a definitive answer one way or another. And especially since, like, some of these characters are, like, in Mike's case, Nico Torres, right? That might be a pretty powerful character for answering the question. You know, I guess same for Mar on Mo's end. So we want to be kind of careful not to close off the scene before we play it. So Haley, if you want to go ahead and start and reveal your character's thoughts and just kind of say, like, you know, a sentence or so about the, you know, one or two sentences about what you're thinking.
I think Marina is, as we kind of alluded to earlier, not about this entire thing feels like not her lane. And I think she would much rather be downstairs trying to be on the ground, helping figure out what's going on. So I think she feels out of her element and not exactly sure what she's doing in this room.
Mo.
I am thinking about how I can spin whatever is about to happen into the best opportunity for me.
Hell yeah. That's the Mar I know.
Never let a good crisis go to waste.
That was literally the sentence on my mind.
Damn, that really puts me in a bind, Mo. I wanted Nico to be the coward.
Why not two?
Mar's not a coward.
Yeah.
He's an opportunist.
I think Nico's thinking about pulling the plug on this whole thing.
I think Admiral Isabella Mendoza is thinking, I told you so. We gave you this tech, and then guess what? You shit the bed just like she thought you would.
I didn't know how much I needed Lauren playing Isabella Mendoza. Holy shit.
So I think that Veronica Sayers is thinking that she's seen this before, and it's not, I think that, again, this doesn't mean that this is the answer, right? But I think she's believes it is very likely that this is not the shepherds that caused this. So I think now we jump into the scene, and I think, you know, I normally it's up to me to kind of say who's already present when the scene starts. But does anybody think that they're not present in the room yet? I might say maybe I'm not present yet and I enter at some point. Maybe I'll add that in to add some diversity to the scene. And maybe it's like Marina, you know, just as a suggestion, maybe like Marina, you're like briefing them on like what we know, or more importantly, what we don't know. And maybe Veronica's out there getting information of a different kind is what's happening.
Okay. So as I said, my team is still evaluating exactly what's happened. We have to analyze the footage from all of the various sensors, and it's going to take some time. What I know now is
Miss Kane, we all know what happened here is that you were improperly funded to develop the Halcyon Veil on the timeline that was required.
And frankly,
we need greater investment, and I'll look directly at Nico Torres here. We need greater investment from the Republic in order to adequately evacuate Terra.
Or we need to stop wasting our time giving our technology to people who... I'm sorry, Mrs. Kane. Right, yeah. You guys were set up to fail here.
I think Marina gives, like, a slight squeak of acknowledgement, but otherwise is staying completely silent.
Mm-hmm. You're obviously a little out of your element, and I understand the political considerations of having this be a civilian-led endeavor. Isabella shoots a look at Mar, but frankly, it is just never going to work out. So
I think at this point, the door knocks. Sorry, go ahead.
I think maybe Mendoza side-eyes the door and see whoever walks in. And she asks, we heard all about the technicals, but have there been any reported fatalities yet? Casualties?
I think that at that point, Veronica enters the room. And I think just to describe her a little bit, we haven't gotten a description of Marina. So maybe Haley, you can throw that in too. Do you want to describe Marina before I describe Veronica?
Marina has light skin, dark brown hair. It's like cropped pretty short. She looks like she's a hot 50, and she's not dressed fancy. She's just dressed like an engineer.
So I think that Veronica enters the room, and I think the one thing that you notice from her like movement, everything's very silent. It's like, oh, she's able to move very efficiently without making a lot of noise in the space, right? She like opens the door and there's not like a squeak or a groan to the door opening. The door just kind of opens and she's in the room. The door closes behind her. I think she's wearing a lot of like middle dark gray. I think it's like a jacket and suit. In terms of her appearance, I think she has medium to dark brown skin, black, just longer than shoulder length, very straight hair, but it's pulled back tightly into a ponytail behind her. Just very, like, everything's very tight in her appearance. I think she's, like, looks probably like she would be in her 30s in our time, but that means she's, again, slightly older in kind of the convergence timeline. And I think she kind of walks in, is holding a large slate that's wrapped in one of those covers that we've seen in sort of Arno's FSOC sequences. And I think she walks in and I think overheard what Admiral Mendoza was saying. I think she says, we're still collecting the numbers, but as of now, it looks like at least several dozen, possibly more.
Mm-hmm. Fatalities or casualties?
From what we've seen of the explosion, there might not be much of a difference.
I think she whistles. Lauren can't whistle, but whistle noise.
While we all mourn the loss of life, Admiral, your suggestion that this should be a military endeavor is moot. Earth does not have enough Lustra to evacuate the planet without Iko's support, and Iko has been clear that this is not a military endeavor, and that the military should be focusing its efforts on preparing for the oncoming threat.
Oh, we're preparing.
I think at that, Nico Torres leans forward and for the first time looks over at Mar and says, how is the preservation of humanity not a military priority?
If reports are to be believed, we are technologically outmatched. And based on what we've seen and the little information that's been released, that seems to be correct. The military's priority right now needs to be preparing for a fight. We can move people around just fine without your assistance. What we need is your civilian support, Mr. President.
I think that Veronica chimes in at that point and says, I think we need to consider the possibility that regardless of our priorities, this has become a military issue and that this was not an accident.
What do you mean, Veronica?
Well, I'm sure that Ms. Kane has more experience than I do on the technical aspects, the size of the explosion, and the points that it impacted on the ship. The odds of it being a coincidence seem extremely low to me. The destruction was nearly complete. The odds of that happening through an engineering mishap seems low to me.
I think Marina her head had kind of snapped up at Veronica's first comment, and then she is also now looking down at her slate and scanning the reports that she's receiving from her team. And then she clears her throat and says, I would have to concur with, I'm not sure how to address you, but I would have to concur with her. We are focused on salvaging as much as we can and keeping the loss as minimum as possible, but my team just doesn't see how this could be possible.
And what about you, Mr. Elkin? How is this possible?
Well, obviously sabotage.
And funding's going to fix that?
Infrastructural support from a government that isn't trying to take the project away from the rightfully established intergalactic governing
Nico
body.
Nico Torres raises a hand and just interrupts and says,
appropriately protect its assets.
You say infrastructure and what I hear is defense. You can't defend yourself. You can't defend humanity. You took a shot and you failed. It's time for you to sit back and help people escape. We are sitting ducks on this planet.
Mr. President, typically when major projects go wrong, it isn't the former chief of staff who's to blame. It's the current administration.
Mr. Elkin, from where I sit, you are quick to dish out the blame, but you are not taking responsibility. It is my responsibility to keep Earth safe. It is your responsibility to get it done, and you have failed. I don't hear a solution coming from you, Mr. Elkin. We all know the challenges. Now, Admiral Mendoza seems to have seen this coming from a mile away, and our intelligence is pointing to this being obvious. Why didn't you see that?
Odd that she saw it from a mile away and didn't notify us.
Miss Sayers?
I think that she just stands up, actually, at this point and says, look, I'm not trying to get into the middle of what seems to have become a bit of a cockfight. And I think she looks at the two of you. All I can say is that if my instincts about this are right, this may have been the first time this happens, but it won't be the last. Unless we find whoever is responsible for this project, this evacuation, none of it's going to be safe. And I think she walks out of the room.
You want a solution, Mr. President? Launch an investigation. You have the resources of an entire planet at your disposal. Figure out who did this and stop them. And let our engineers get back to work.
You're right. But this is beyond the scope of civilian resources. Admiral Mendoza, you're in charge. And at that, I'll get up and leave the room.
So I think after the two stormouts, walkouts, whatever, I think Mendoza will like raise her brows and look over to Mar and say, you know, those ships I loaned you guys, I think we're going to be needing those back. You took 85% of my fleet. And I really hope you've been treating them nicely out there. But if we want to get these people off of Earth, we want to do it in the actual safest way possible. My men, my ships, my way. Hey there, it's Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you're enjoying Worlds Away so far and you know someone who has similar refined and sophisticated tastes, please go ahead and recommend us. If you have no friends, you can also help the show by rating and reviewing us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform you use to listen to podcasts. Additionally, give us a shout out on whatever social media platform you swear you're going to quit this year. If you want to say hi, you can also find us on most platforms at Worlds Away Pod or online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening. And now back to your episode.
So I think the answer to the question again was, does the destruction of the Halcyon Vale cause the Republic to abandon their attempt to evacuate Earth? And I think the answer is no, but the fleet has taken control of the evacuation effort.
Yeah. And like the implication was they're like bartering to get ships returned to them that they gave to Iko under a the new peace treaty or armistice or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think what I think the tone of that is still dark, but the reason I think that is just because there's because of the conflict, you know what I mean? And the fact that it's like, oh, people are kind of in their camps and this is like causing strife. So I think that that's I'll mark it that way.
Well, something exploded and a bunch of people died.
Yeah. Well, I had the event. I had the event as dark for sure in terms of the Halcyon Vale being destroyed.
Yeah, because a bunch of people died.
So, okay. I think that now
Space Hindenburg.
So now we continue this Lusitania. Round of play. And so, Lauren, you're next to put a period event or scene on the timeline. The catch is whatever it is, it has to relate in some way to the destruction of the Halcyon Vale. And it could be anywhere on the timeline. It just has to relate back in some way to that focus.
Admiral Isabel and Mendoza coups the Republic and takes over.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I had a rule in the palette.
Queen Isabella Mendoza.
Oh, I thought that was only your like player character yourself.
I consider Mendoza like part of the Arno timeline, unless you want me to take what's his face from Genesynth.
I mean, he's everybody's.
We're bargaining here.
We already like bargained with NPCs. Yeah, like, don't think we won't do it again.
And I want to say, I don't, for some reason in that intro round, I don't think we went back to Haley placing it down, but she did put down, I must say, it says the discovery of the Brink, name under duress, and you did mark it as a light tone in terms of the era of great projects. I just wanted to name that explicitly.
Yeah, I just figured I didn't deserve to get to say what tone mine was, so.
Think this is a period, but somebody call me out. I'm gonna say an interim government of Earth is elected to govern those that stay behind.
Ooh. So I'm wondering, is that an event that's under the evacuation of Earth, or is that like a new period? And if it's a period, is there a way to like broaden it slightly in terms of like, is it like the period of the remainders, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like the election of the government, like that is an event, but if
I was
it's like
more
oh there's
of like it's literally like a discussion on how individuals would be selected if there is an election, like an electoral period, and then any decrees that they might, and I was thinking of it of like what makes a period is a collection of the events could happen underneath it. And that's the way I was conceptualizing it. But I'm happy to like, you know, finagle with it.
No, I think that works. I think it's just if it's a period, it's more about it's not like the election, if that makes sense. It's more about like the remainders build their government on Earth or something, or build a society on Earth. If it's like the election, then I think that's an event. If it's like, oh, you know, the government's chosen.
I see how that sounds a little more selective than what I mean.
And I think either works, you know what I mean? I think if you want to make that an event, that's totally fine. And I think it fits under the evacuation. But I think it could also be, like, your idea for the period could also work pretty well.
I'm going to change it to Earth is reorganized for those that remain.
Yeah, that's really good. Is that light or dark tone, though?
I think it's light.
Why do you think that?
I think that I'm envisioning this as a period of cooperativity. I'm also envisioning it as almost like a like individuals who have accepted a type of fate and are fully cognizant of the choices that they're making.
All right. Next is Mike, then. I guess like, oh, well, here's one question I do have for that period that you put down, though, Lauren. What's the connection with the Halcyon Vale? Like, how do you kind of trace that back to the Halcyon Vale destruction? I guess it is related to the evacuation in some way, but it's like...
Yeah, that's how I envision it, is that, like, the Halcyon Vale is, like, one, you know, is, like, an event under that kind of umbrella, and that was a moment in which people could stay or go, and obviously the result of our scene is that people are leaving, so that, like, that, even though that event happens, the outcome of it remains that people leave, and then... a small remainder of those who are still on Earth like have to set up some sort of functioning society.
I can also tie it more directly with mine.
Okay. Yeah.
If we get to
yes, and.
Mike is next.
I'll let it cook then. I think that's fine. You know, I do want to make sure that, especially part of the reason I picked such a specific focus is like to really drill into the history, you know what I mean? And say like, oh, this is a part that we're going to explore like in depth, because we can always make it wider. We'll have plenty of opportunities for additional focuses to kind of broaden the timeline. But anyways, I think that works, especially Mo, if you have like a good tie into this. I'm excited to just let it ride. But Mike, what's your addition to the timeline?
Before I go on, I have a question. Does anyone claim Aiden Kuros as theirs?
As their like character?
Yeah, or part of their backstory NPC.
Sexual lover. Yes.
Really looking more at Mo than anyone else.
I do not claim Aiden Kuros.
Cool.
I will say, be careful with old Aventine philosophy. But new Aiden Kuros shit have at it.
The only thing I'll say about Aiden Kuros, by the way, Mike, one thing I wanted to put down in terms of a fact already established was just at the end of the call, like with Aiko in the last scene of the last episode, I think that he had kind of implied that like he might not be the future of Aventine during this period. So I don't know like what would happen. I just wanted to like preserve that turn in his character, if that makes sense. But
sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll never find out. The assassination of Aiden Kuros.
Oh, shit.
And how does that relate to the destruction of the Halcyon Veil, though?
I think we start to see some of the same breadcrumbs of sabotage as for the destruction of the Halcyon Veil.
Is it like a people blame?
No, I think it's the ship that he was on is destroyed, and it looks very similar to what happened with the Halcyon Veil.
Ooh.
I guess what's the, is there like, so he was on another ship that was destroyed. Do we want to throw that in the card too?
Yeah, I think so. The assassination of Aiden Kuros, his personal ship was sabotaged in a manner similar to the Halcyon Veil.
And you made that a dark tone. I don't know if I need an explanation for that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What is that event? You're saying that event's under the evacuation of Earth?
I'm just putting it, I think it's soon and very soon after the Halcyon Veil is destroyed. I don't know that it necessarily needs its own like period.
Understood.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I think that can make sense because these periods, again, it's like they're on the timeline, but it's about the era for all of humanity. So the evacuation of Earth, that's just like the big thing that's going on right now, or the big theme of that period. So I think it works to have stuff outside of Earth that happens then.
The vote of no confidence in the Republic.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh. Let's go, baby.
I think it's an event that happens here. It's tied directly to the Halcyon Veil because I think Mar Elkin leads a campaign accusing the leadership of attempting to impose martial law on all of humanity by taking back their fleet and betraying Aiko.
Ho, what an accusation. I love that.
And what's the outcome of the vote? That it passes?
The vote passes.
Okay.
And the Republic is dissolved.
Where is that in the time? Like, is it under the evacuation of Earth? And if so, is it before or after the assassination of...
I think it's Aiden after Kuros. The assassination of Aiden Kuros.
Can I ask you a couple of follow-up questions for this? I really want to flesh this out.
Sure.
So there's a vote of no confidence, but some people have been evacuated from the planet. How much of the population has already been evacuated, and who was eligible to vote in this? Was it just the people who remained?
I think anyone who is still considered a member of the Republic, including all Verge planets, which still identify under the Republic, were allowed to vote under Republic law. I don't think Republic law was changed anyway prior to that. As for what percentage of the population had already evacuated.
And some of these things, I don't want to answer that question, for example, because that's the thing that somebody could put a card down about. You know what I mean? So we don't want to like flesh out like, oh, was Earth evacuated already or not? Like, you know what I mean? Right. It's like, obviously they might not have been, but we want to be careful to preserve the ability to change the timeline.
And just to explain sort of what I'm thinking about over here, it's like, oh yeah, if you told me the people that stayed on the planet decided to vote of no confidence after everyone left, like, okay, sure. Yeah. No big deal. I'm wondering, is it a big deal or not?
Oh, I can tell you the tone is dark. It's a big fucking deal.
All right.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it John's?
No, I think it's... oh, yeah, no, it's your turn, Haley. In table
order. So I think that at the... Somewhere after all of these events, there is the rebirth of the Halcyon Vale, and a new Halcyon Vale ship is completed. And that's an event.
Is that still under the evacuation of Earth, or is that somewhere else on the timeline?
There is
also like the era of Great Prod. I mean, again, I don't want to make suggestions.
I think this happens in the period for Earth is reorganized for those who remain. And I think the new government like maybe goes about things a different way, but the new government is not like completely, you know, denying the fact that the people who remain are still at risk. And so I do think that there is like the Halcyon Vale too. And I think that's a light tone.
So I'm going to, normally I could do like a nested, so I could do like an event in, or a period and an event inside the period, because I'm the lens for this round, or I could do an event and a focus, but I just want to add a scene because I want to add a scene to the assassination of Aiden Kuros. And the question that I want to answer is, what does Aiden Kuros learn just before his death about who is responsible for the destruction of the Halcyon Vale?
Ooh,
spicy.
I think the setting is on board his ship. And I think that the thing about the scene, the kind of dramatic irony in how we play it, or maybe it's like the kind of opposite of that, is I think that Aiden Kuros already knows the answer, but we don't. And he's on his ship, like getting prepared to leave to like do something about this, or to like share the information with somebody. And that's like what the sequence is him like preparing to leave Aventine. So he's like boarding his ship, getting ready to leave.
What's his ship's name?
That's going to be my character, so.
Oh, yeah.
It can be, if you want.
What is your name?
Yeah, Haley, I think you go first, yeah?
I mean, did you actually want to be the ship, or do you want me to name the ship?
No, I didn't actually want to be the ship. John, why are you making all these scenes, then I have to pick my character first?
My bad. I promise this will be the last time for the next five times that I'm the lens, okay? That I can make that commitment to you.
John, I assume Aiden Kuros is a required character in this scene.
Yeah, I will say that Aiden Kuros is a required character. I mean, I'm happy to play him if y'all leave it to me, but anyone, if somebody else wants him, that's on the table.
I don't. I know what I want.
Don't say it.
I want to be the ship's AI.
Oh, that's not what... You could say that. Never mind. It's fine.
Okay. What's the... does the ship's AI have a name?
Papyrus.
Damn.
She cooked.
Poppy for short. Oh, fuck me.
Okay. Me making a fucking serious ass scene that I thought was like an absolute fucking banger. And then Haley's like, Poppy for short. Fuck me.
That wasn't canon.
She's opium for the masses. Get your own Poppy today.
Oh, it's Poppy.
No,
okay.
I was seeing P-A-P-I.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that's what you were saying.
Yeah. What was the name of the first person that we rescued in the Lewis system for the derelict trip?
Oh, fuck. Oh, well, I guess what do you mean by that? There's Nadia, right?
Nadia.
Or do you mean... Oh, okay, no, that's Nadia. What you mean? Oh, okay.
I'm not Marvin. I'm Nadia.
Yeah, not Marvin. Okay.
I don't know what Nadia's last name was.
It's Lasky.
Nanya.
I don't think we ever
Nadia
said
Nadia Lasky.
Nadia Nanya.
And what's her, like, position in this?
Sexual.
Jesus
assassin.
Sexual assassin. Fuck yeah.
I had to make sure it didn't answer the question, but yeah.
Yeah, we can. I wonder what she's going to do.
God, okay. Can I just put something out there? I don't feel like this was Lilo's fault.
That's crazy, because I really feel like it was explicitly her fault.
Amazing.
If the brain doesn't fit, you must acquit.
If the brain doesn't fit, you must acquit. I know Leela's done a lot of bad shit, but I just don't feel like this is her fault.
Here's the thing. We can't just keep being like, what's the most insane thing we could say in these circumstances?
We can.
We won't have a fucking game left. Holy shit.
God damn. All right, Mo.
I mean, I fucking like it. I think the reason. Okay, I just want to say, like, in defense of this, I know it's like funny as fuck, and also like, you know, hashtag it was blame Leela, right? And like, just want to be clear. But I like this a lot. I want to say that it's like, I think it's really interesting because it's like, what are her motives or what's the reason behind this? Especially if it's like wrapped in the decision of do we flee or do we stay? I think that's a really fucking interesting decision about, especially when you consider about like Aventine or like Aventine mm-hmm. thought or what's going on there. I think it's really interesting. So I'm down.
Oh, I'm up now. Yeah.
Yes, you're up.
I think this would have been a very small travel party. And so I'm actually going to pass and say that there's not going to be a fifth person on this voyage.
Okay.
Or fourth, if we're not counting the AI.
And I think it's also like, I mean, what Nadia is doing there, it's like, I think we haven't answered that. We'll have to think about that question about her like presence in the scene, right? Like, is she there to, as part of the party, like Kira knows she's there? Or is it something else? You know, I mean, we'll have to think about that when we do the setting. But Lauren, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to play Emma Gomez, also an assassin. She was a literal assassin, though.
Yeah. It's, I'm just trying to figure out the political, like.
I mean, based on what I was hoping to put down, there might be something for Lauren to pick up, but Lauren might be trying to put something else down.
Well, we have to have a sexy cat fight first.
Oh, we're opposing okay. assassins.
No.
Spy v. spy.
So yeah, I don't want to.
I was totally joking. She's just there as like some sort of
security
bag man.
I mean, she could be like his like bodyguard. You know what I mean? Or exactly. like working with Kira.
Body person. Being his body person makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that's why she's there.
Well, John, you're Aiden Kiros.
I guess I will be Aiden Kiros then.
I can't believe, Mo, that you didn't play your husband.
Not for this one.
And I will say, so like, I'm Aiden Kiros. I think he's the former first minister of Aventine at this point. So, okay. So I want to just, we can go around and now do the, we'll do the revelation of thoughts because that might answer some of the questions about who's in the scene initially. And then I'll kind of think about that. So yeah, we'll start with Papyrus, the ship's AI, which I guess is kind of like a funny thing to be like, what are you thinking about? But it could be like, again, more of like, what's your situation for the sequence or what's kind of going on in your role, or how do you interact with the scene?
Yeah. So Papyrus is no thoughts, just vibes until engaged with. Just kidding. I think Papyrus's responsibility is first to the people on the ship who are like the stated passengers, then to any other humans who are not actively endangering anyone, then to the maintenance of the ship itself. And so I think that's kind of the priority order of what Papyrus is trying to do, is preserve those things.
Okay, interesting. So maybe it's like, oh, like how Papyrus become aware of the assassination, I guess, you know, or like of the events transpiring. And I don't know if we see, like, I just want to say, I think in terms of the scene, like the question is like, what does Aiden Kiros learn, right? Or what did he learn is maybe a better way to put it. And I'll change does to did, just to kind of leave that open. I don't think the scene ends with the assassination, you know what I mean? I think the scene ends with us, like, it might, but either way, it ends with us as the audience, like, learning what he found out before his death about who's responsible.
Yeah, and I think the point is, if Papyrus has some way to convey information or to help, Papyrus will prioritize Aiden Kiros's, like, desires and well-being.
Yeah. What does, what's going through Nadia Lasky's thoughts?
I am thinking I must do whatever it takes to ensure they can't stop the shepherds.
Whoa.
Huh. Wow.
Ooh.
Like, I do want to know why, but I don't know if I want to ask that yet. That's
play to find out.
Emma Gomez has spent the last few years in a space prison. And with the last bit of his diplomatic or political chops, Kiro sprung her from prison. And she spent a lot of time thinking and reading and honestly praying. And she feels like this is her second chance to genuinely make something of herself and be a force for good in humanity.
Shit.
Oh, I feel so good. Listen, from the moment I put down my fucking piece of the palette, this is what I was building towards. So I'm so ready for it.
I was not prepared for, like, when I thought it was, like, what the motivation was, I thought it was going to be something about, like, we're being cowards and we're fleeing the shepherds and not, like, I'm pro-shepherds. That's kind of, that caught me off guard. Fascinating.
It's funny because I thought that Aiden Kiros might be the same way with that, but, like, in a very different roundabout way. And so I'm really glad Mo got to play this out with his, like, path to that.
So I think what's going through in Kiros' head is it's, like, a kind of conflict, right? Or maybe like irony is the better way to put it, in that I think that there's almost nothing that Aiden Kiros finds more objectionable than the idea of like humanity running. I think that he thinks that that's going to give up on Aventine in some way, right? Even though it is an idea and is not a place, the idea of fleeing is like letting somebody else dictate, right? That's like what that is. It's an act of surrender. And I think that he thinks that, you know, that's something that he's so deeply opposed to. But I think that he, what he learned, without me saying what that is like enough to compel him to act, whether that's to prevent a loss of life, right? That he feels like he owes that. And especially if it's like Earth that he's warning, because they're the ones that were trying to build the Halcyon Vale and evacuate, or whether it's some other fact about what was learned that is like requiring him to act. So I think he's kind of conflicted about the fact that he's doing this, and including that I think he realizes there's some risk to himself, but that's, you know, he felt compelled at the end of the day. So I think the next thing is like who's present initially. And I mean, I can say that, but I guess my question for Mo, I mean, maybe it sounds like you're not present in the scene at first and that you're kind of somewhere else, right? I mean, we can even kind of like cut away to like what's happening, or do you like enter the scene where he is? Maybe that's the other question.
I think I know how I cut in.
Okay.
And I don't think it's with me physically entering the scene. So I think the scene starts without me.
Okay. So I think where the scene starts then is they're like loading the ship. And I think that it's, we're in Aiden Kiros's like cabin on the ship. And I think that it's just Aiden Kiros and Emma Gomez. And I think it's like they're finishing up the last preparations for the trip. I think he looks older, for what it's worth. Like, he has visibly aged since the events of the last campaign, even though it's not been that long, and despite the kind of anti-aging technology. But I think that he is kind of stowing the last of his belongings in the cabin. And I think he sits down. Maybe there's, like, chairs kind of across from a table. I imagine this is, like, yeah, there's, like, a kind of, like, bed area that's has a, like a partition almost, like it's a lattice structure in the room that separates it from the rest of the space. And then there's like a sitting area because it's a, you know, it's a decently appointed ship. And I think he kind of sits down in one of the chairs there and says to you, you know that you didn't have to come with me, right, Emma?
Respectfully, I didn't have much of a choice. And I wanted to. So.
I think he nods and says, all of this mess, all of your past, Emma, I appreciate what you've done, but it would be wrong to not look at my role in where you found yourself. Allowing a new future, a better future for you is the least that I could do. You don't owe me anything.
I think that maybe before, and I'm imagining her kind of standing at like almost more relaxed, but like parade ease, right? Like she's kind of, you know, like arms behind her back, you know. And maybe she was like a looking around before, but she looks him in the eye and she says, I made my choices. I did. Of my own faculty, of my own mind, for my own independence. And I actually think that that's like maybe like a line from like a small portion of like On Independence.
Yeah.
Damn. Quoting Reef Kasarik to Aiden Kyros.
Yeah. I think he recognizes the line, obviously. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I don't think he stopped beefing with Reef Kasarik necessarily, right?
Right.
But I think he kind of smiles and like, you know, it's like not a laugh, but like he can tell, you know, he knows that you're poking him a little bit.
I honestly think that like he is poked by it. I don't think she's trying to poke him, right? I think that, you know, maybe after the fact, this is one of those things where she like maybe after the fact is like, oh, gee whiz, maybe I shouldn't have said that to this guy.
I don't think he takes it like the wrong way. You know what I mean? I think he's like, oh, that was fun that you did that. You know what I mean? That's the vibe I'm trying to give off, you know?
But again, like, I think she's more deeply contemplating herself in that moment, right? Like in that like, but I think after she says that, she says, now that we're almost ready to leave, which of these coordinates are we actually headed to? You've given out no less than 3 in the last week.
Actually, it's none of them. And I think he slides over a slate on the table. And I think that when you pick it up, you see that the coordinates are, and maybe it takes you a second to like double check it, if I can put on my GM hat for half a second in narrating this. But I think that you see that the coordinates are for Earth.
I think that definitely both her brows are raised. And I think she pauses and like maybe she kind of like comes to again and she's like, sorry, I just had a crazy out of body experience where you suggested that we go to Earth. Do you think you're going to be safe on Earth?
At that, I think there's an explosion in the engine bay.
Is that it? That's the whole scene?
I don't know.
The end.
I don't think the ship's destroyed.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm queuing Papyrus there a little bit.
Oh, okay. I see.
Are there like, and let me ask, are there like, this is under like maybe Papyrus's control. Are there like sirens or stuff going off? Like did I feel the explosion? Was that kind of like, what's that? You know what I mean? Before this happened? I just want to understand the scene or what occurred.
Yeah. I think there was a slight like shake or vibration like to the ship.
Yeah,
a rumble that maybe it was just passing through some micrometeorites or some shit. I don't know. I think I made that up. Or maybe it was something bad, but I assume this is a relatively intense conversation. So I wonder if nothing happened, like you guys don't notice until Papyrus says something.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Kyros, Papyrus here. There's been a disturbance.
I thought
that was jokes. That wasn't serious. My name's not Bobby.
I'm sorry. I think, give me a second. I could feel as much. What caused it?
The sensors in the engine bay are reporting a possible hull breach. There is also some activity outside of the hull.
What the hell kind of activity?
I think he just turns to Gomez and says, damn, I thought we had more time than this. And I think he gets up and starts making his way to the door. But I think he turns back and says, Emma, you said you made a choice to be here today. I'm asking you to choose something else now. And I think he hands her, like he had like shown on the slate the coordinates before, right? And I think he hands her, like it's a bound journal, right? I think it has like a string that's tying it closed. And I think he hands it to her. And I think he says, I'm going to go to the engine room and find out what happened. You need to make sure that these get to Earth.
No, this is stupid. I'll go to the engine room. You take your notes. And I think she tries to, like, give them back to you.
I think
Papyrus detects a fire being set or an active fire on the ship.
Interesting.
Mo is playing, instead of the concept of time, Mo is playing the concept of destruction.
And he's playing the I think he is like playing the concept of time. It's kind of funny that he didn't like select this, but it's like, and we've not really seen where Nadia appears in the scene yet, but I think he is kind of playing the concept of time as of now.
Yeah.
I'm playing Nadia. You just can't see Nadia.
Yeah. I think that what he says is, I think he kind of like yells, and I'm trying to think how to do this, but I don't want to like yell into the microphone. Emma, they're looking for me. If you have this book, it's the best chance that I can get to Earth intact.
I think that genuinely startles her. I don't think that Aiden Kyros is a man who's ever needed to yell at anyone to get his point across.
Yeah.
And I think that for a half second, she's surprised and startled. And then her analytical mind kicks over and she realizes whatever is in here is that important, and he's deadly serious about it. And I think after that, she'll brush past him and like leave to get off the ship.
I think before you leave, though, he goes and reaches down and says, wait, one more thing. I'd like to borrow something, if you don't mind. And I think he gestures toward one of your firearms.
So I think that he gestures to where a firearm is. I do not think she's supposed to have a firearm, as she is I don't think felons, of course, exist, but whatever kind of space felony, she absolutely committed it. So I think that like she's got something like tucked away.
But she's like his bodyguard, right? Yeah.
Right. But I think
oh,
that
maybe
like,
he doesn't just. Yeah, maybe he doesn't gesture, though.
They're still on planet, and I think that like it's probably an open secret, you know, like she's got something. But
maybe he doesn't gesture at all. Maybe he just says the line then, you know?
Anything. He could know, or he could just be like, I know you're packing, or I know you're specifically packing there. But I think that I think she pulls out her gun, and then she says, well, don't tell anyone you got it from me.
I think he takes it, and then like maybe that's where they depart in different directions, and he makes his way down into the ship and you leave.
Yeah.
And I think to answer the scene, I don't want to just
like,
kind of
the book.
Like narrate this. Yeah. What does she see in the book then, Lauren?
Oh, I get to pick?
Yeah, I kind of offloaded it onto you.
This is unfortunate.
In a way that's like, you know, again, I thought like, how could it not be like Aiden Kyros reveals it and, you know, I just dictate it, but I want to kind of give you the choice.
My gut is that it was not actually like sabotage as in like a special force was trying to do something, but it was they were playing around with alien technology and attempting to install it, and like it, whatever technology they were attempting to install on like the Halcyon Vale, they improperly installed it and didn't know what they were messing with, and it imploded in the most miraculous fashion.